the lamb stop screaming, Clarice? Are you ready for another episode of Movie Madness? I'm your host, David Double D Dennis, or one of the hosts, I should say, because I'm also joined with...
Andrew Cannibal Roebuck.
And...
Scott.
That's it?
That's it right now.
I thought you would have a Hannibal-related nickname.
Mine was pretty poor. I should have been Andrew Fava Beans Roebuck, but...
Strike that. Reverse it. It's Scott puts the lotion in the basket board. It's...
Okay, that's better. That's more like it. In case you haven't guessed, we're going to be continuing...
Talking about Silence of the Lambs again.
What was that, sorry?
No, I'd say talking about Silence of the Lambs again, because it felt like our names were very Silence-y of the Lambs.
We're going to talk a little bit about Silence of the Lambs, but we're actually moving forward chronologically this time. And then next week, we'll be going backwards again, because it's a very confusing franchise in that sense. This week, we're talking about Hannibal. Of course we're talking about Hannibal, but I mean, we're talking about the 2001 movie that's called Hannibal, which is not to be confused with the 2013 TV show, which is also called Hannibal. Before we do that, though, we have a pretty important announcement to make, actually. So I'm going to throw to you, Scott.
Oh my gosh, I want to thank the Academy. It's... Alright guys, we're moving into the 21st century here. We have ourselves a dedicated Facebook page where you can get all your movie madness addiction. You can pop your veins, and we're going to give you that movie madness heroin you guys are wanting so bad.
That's
Facebook.
That's the best description.
You just get someone to hold your arm, get a belt, and we'll keep feeding the good stuff to you. And don't worry. It's all free. We're not going to charge you after the first one. We'll keep giving you the good stuff. If you want the URL, it's facebook.com/moviemadnesspodcast. Or you can just search Movie Madness. You'll see like a red cameraman. Kind of cool looking. I made him. So that's where we're going to be posting everything, like when episodes go up, polls, just to try to get more community-oriented content going out there. Get direct feedback from you. You can even leave feedback on the Facebook page. You can send us messages and all three of us can access them. I'm really hoping to go for the more involved community, because that really makes the show a lot better, because we get to know what you guys like, what you don't like, what you want to hear, so on and so forth. And with the Facebook page, I decided, why not? Let's make a Twitter account too. So that is... I think it's Movie Madness TWG for Twig. I couldn't put an I. Apparently, that's too many characters. So, it's at Movie Madness TWG. And again, it has the same cute, adorable red face. And there we give dope, not heroin. Heroin's only on the Facebook page. So, check it out.
My Skype was bugging out that whole time. Sorry. I thought you were done.
Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, so... Like it, tell your friends, we'll post it on the show page. I'm even talking to Steve right now to get us a dedicated show page, which he is going to do for us to make it easier, and have getting all the artwork and stuff done.
That.
So we're going to have that. It's going to be good.
Do it.
Anyways, I hope MovieMadness doesn't do this for the entire episode, because it's annoying.
We're having Skype issues here, folks, so if we're cutting each other off, it's all right. So yeah... But I'll let us get on with the show. So it's Movie Madness. It's facebook.com/moviemadnesspodcast. I want to see those likes go up. Leave us feedback, so on and so forth. We want to hear from you. So let's get on with this meat train. I was trying to think of something.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that my my internet connection starts to speed up here a little bit. Before we continue, I actually wanted to talk about last week's web poll that we had on our Movie Madness Facebook page, which is only on there for a few days, actually.
I mean, they had five people on it.
Question. Yeah. I'm hoping that our next question, which I'm going to ask in just a few seconds, we'll have more people. But our question that we asked from our last episode was, which movie do you prefer, Manhunter or Red Dragon? And like you said, Scott, we only have five people, but
three of them were
technically
us.
Red Dragon won by one vote. And yeah, three of them were us. I don't even think we should be voting, to be honest, but
hey, we gotta pad our own stuff here for now.
Yeah,
because then Manhunter would have had no votes then.
I would be interested to see which one of those have all of the three people who voted for Red Dragon actually seen Manhunter, because Manhunter is the lesser seen of the two films.
That's true. But someone did post a comment comparing Anthony Hopkins and Brian Cox, so I'm guessing that person did actually see them.
Both. Yes, and that person's name was Sarah Ashley...
Sarah Hebbard!
Yeah, thank you for posting.
Who I went to college with her.
Okay,
so
I was about to say, are those like all like are those
She's
all like
awesome.
People who actually listen to the show, or are these all like just people we've kind of invited?
I'm kind of hoping that she listens to the show.
These are all my friends I invited. Are 18 of them? But they'll probably listen to the show.
Yeah, or my friends. But
some of the people are like film people in Toronto. I send it to so.
Some people. Hopefully we'll listen to this show that are not our friends and go onto the Facebook page, but that's possibly just wishful thinking on my part.
Well, fun fact about our first poll is it was rather viral on our Facebook insights. It went to 182 people who aren't liking the page, so that's more people saw it. Let's keep that up.
I hope so. Alright, so for our next poll, the question that I want to ask people is
which
kind of related
sexiest?
To this movie.
I automatically win, though, but...
No, yeah. No, actually, I would automatically win that one. Come on, guys.
I would automatically lose. Is it possible to get negative votes?
Aw, Andrew. You're so sad. And yet it's so hard for me to feel sorry for you. Anyways,
okay.
No, I wanted to ask actually which FBI agent people prefer, Clarice Starling or Will Graham.
Ooh.
Would you?
I thought that would be a good question.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
How about
get some interesting answers?
How about instead of us voting on the poll itself, why don't we explain our picks here so then we don't have to enter a poll and it'll only be our listeners?
Okay.
Sure.
So just quickly,
are we
going
to like even divide this? Are we even going to divide this up more to be like the actors who played the character or just the character itself? Because both characters have had two different, well, three for Will Graham with Manhunter as well. But
yeah, I would say just the character itself.
Okay.
Or him or herself. For me, I would probably have to go with Will Graham personally. I just find him to be a little bit more compelling, and he kind of has almost like it's almost an ability and a curse at the same time to get inside the mind of a killer, whereas Clarice Starling doesn't really have any kind of a special ability. She just tries really, really hard because she's like an overachiever, basically. So her ability is just, you know, trying really hard, whereas Will Graham's ability is actually like his crazy thing that he does with his brain, which I just think is really awesome.
Oh,
and,
it is.
Yeah. And he's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit on the edge. So I think that's what I like about him. Not to say that Clarice isn't cool either. She's pretty awesome.
All right.
So
Scott, what would you say?
I'd have to go with Will Graham as well. I like the fact that... Excuse me. Sorry. My throat. Alrighty.
You're forgiven.
He is way more compelling than Clarice. Clarice is more, I consider her more by the books. Like, you can kind of figure out what she's going to do next. But with Will Graham being able to get into the minds of the serial killers, he can be a little more unpredictable. And you won't always expect to hear what comes out of his mouth. He's a little more, as I said, spontaneous. And I think that's a lot more interesting character. Pardon?
I said okay.
You said okay. I heard oh. I was like, what?
I think that's what he did do.
Okay. Phew, I didn't
think... But it was like an acknowledge... He was acknowledging you.
Oh, okay.
Like yeah.
Damn Skype.
My apologies.
You're also forgiven.
Alright, is it my turn now?
Okay. Tis.
Sure.
You're both wrong. I like Will Graham a lot, but I think Clarice is a really interesting character, mainly for her relationship with Hannibal, I think, that really drives the films. Because Hannibal, especially when he's been in the mental institution, we really only see him interact with males, predominantly. And especially, it's interesting to see how he reacts to just kind of like a FBI woman. I know in the show he has a little bit of interaction with the other female psychiatrist, but I'm talking about just like, after he's been in the Baltimore, like, state penitentiary for so, like, the hospital, I mean, for so long, and he has had no interaction with, like, the opposite sex, because all the other people in the cells are men, and all of his caretakers are men, and it's just interesting to see how he interacts with the, like, with a woman, and how she interacts back with him, and a lot of the driving force of the original Silence of the Lambs movies is kind of like gender roles and how Clarice is kind of struggling to get respect in the workplace and how even her going to Hannibal in the first place is kind of Jack Crawford's playing a ruse to try and get more out of Hannibal. So I find she's an interesting character apart from her interaction with Hannibal. It's just that's probably why I find her the most interesting.
Oh,
good answer. I'm kind of glad we weren't all in agreement on one person, because that would be really boring. So I do agree with what you said. I think I just like Will Graham a little bit more. Not that. Yeah, I do kind of hope that Clarice shows up in the TV series at some point, but
I do not. I don't want.
We'll
Clarice
see if it lasts that long.
I don't want.
Clarice I just want Veda to. Series. I want to see more Veda.
Who?
The chick, what's her face? That's the girl from My Girl. Whatever her name is, the one who, in the TV show, Jack Crawford's all upset about because... No. So Jack Crawford, he's upset. I forget her name. It's his rookie who he sent after the Chesapeake Ripper.
Oh, that
and she's
chick,
the last victim.
Yeah.
That's Veda from My Girl.
I've never seen My Girl, but...
Really? Oh,
that's
I love that movie.
Weird.
I doubt we'll see much more.
Yeah,
of
sorry, but let's
check it out at some point. But I always say that about every movie, and then I never check it out because I don't have time.
He only checks out Mara Wilson flicks.
We're not here to talk about My Girl. We're here to talk about Hannibal's Girl. So, with that terrible segue, let's go into Hannibal 2001 with everybody's favorite segment.
Scott's Plot!
That was supposed
Scott's
to be
plot.
Me thrown at you. There you go.
Oh, yeah! Scott's Plot! Yeah! Oh, I was singing the whole time. This damn Skype issue. All
I
right.
Know, it kind of sucks, sorry.
So.
Our favorite issue.
You gonna interrupt me some more, Andrew?
No.
Just put the lotion in the basket, as you're told. Do as you're told. Alrighty. So we're going to talk about the 2001 flick, Hannibal, starring Anthony Hopkins, Julianne Moore, Gary Oldman, and the guy who plays Mathis for at least the first 40 minutes from James Bond. I don't know his real name, but that's enough for me. So, this film, it starts off, what is it? It take place around 10 years, like real-time 10 years, I think it was.
I think it just takes place in 2001. And,
oh, okay.
Silence of the
Lambs.
Space
Odyssey?
1991. Or 1990 and 2000, I guess.
Wow, Andrew, there you go. A Space Odyssey. So clever. So clever.
Yeah, no.
So.
Let's move on from that joke.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so it starts off with good old Barney, if I'm correct, hanging out with a mysterious man. A mysterious man whose face is a little bit strange. And they're chatting, and he's selling him some rare and elusive objects, being Hannibal's mask. So he sells it to this guy. This guy's like, here's $250,000. I want this mask. And we're kind of not sure who he is. And then I forget what happens after that. This is a really great episode of Scott's Plot. I forgot what happens next.
My Skype just conked back in there, and I'm just now hearing that you have forgotten everything that happens in this movie.
No,
and
not everything,
okay, because
Dave.
I personally find this movie kind of forgettable.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I like the last.
Okay, everything. I guess you just forgot the details.
I don't remember the first, like,
I think
before they get to Italy.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Like, the first hour of this movie is kind of boring, but I think the main bit is that Clarice is now, like, basically the head of, like, a unit or something for the FBI, and they're like, we gotta take down this chick, but watch out, she's super dangerous, has AIDS, and she'll try to bite you, even though you can't get AIDS through saliva, so that,
she
like,
had AIDS?
That bothered me. That's what she said. She's like, she said she's HIV positive, and she's gonna try to bite you, and it's like, that doesn't matter, because you can't get HIV through saliva, but... Unless she, like, pees on you. Or no, because you can't get through... It's only blood...
and your penis.
Feces and semen. Yeah. I remember that from health class in grade 9.
I remember from first-hand experience.
So they're going after this chick, and then she's holding a baby, and Clarice is like, don't make me shoot you! But she does, and she shoots her, and it's like... horrible tragedy. The baby lives, but this crazy woman dies, and for some reason this is a big disgrace to Clarice, even though she took down a criminal. And it's not like the baby's gonna remember it anyways. It's like 6 months old. But anyways, she's all like disgraced, and the FBI's like, man, you made a big mistake taking down that crazy lady. We're gonna have to suspend you or something. And Ray Liotta works for the FBI. And he's kind of an annoying character in this movie. Anyways, then we're in Italy, I think. Or am I right about that? I don't know.
Let's just say we are right about that. Now we're in Italy.
I barely remember this movie either. I saw it like 2 weeks ago.
I just remember the last 35, 40 minutes.
So basically Hannibal's hiding out in Italy. And... there's this guy named Inspector Patsy, I guess, who they're like
Francesco
kind of
Patsy.
So they kind of hang out and stuff until Patsy discovers that, you know, this guy that's his friend is actually Hannibal Lecter, a wanted criminal, and that Gary Oldman's character Mason Verger, it's Verger. Sorry. Wants him to basically have his own revenge on him, and he's like, I'll go after this guy myself. And Clarice is like, that's really stupid, you shouldn't do that. But he does anyways, because he's really stupid, and spoiler alert, Hannibal kills him. Like, just cuts his guts open, and they spill all over the ground, and that's basically when the movie actually gets interesting, is at that point. I just fast-forwarded through, like, the first hour of this movie. It takes about an hour to get to that point.
It does,
where
really.
Where it actually starts to get interesting.
And then that's
that
when
point,
shit gets
Hannibal
real.
Comes back... What was that, Scott?
I say that because that's when shit gets real.
Yeah, basically. Because at that point is when Hannibal finally comes back to America, and Clarice decides to take him down. Sort of, but kind of help him at the same time, which is kind of weird. Because basically, Ray Liotta's character, Agent Paul Krendler, wants to do the same thing that Mathis wanted to do in Italy, where he's going to try and take him down by himself and hand him over to Gary Oldman so Gary Oldman can do whatever he wants to him.
It's a good point to mention that Agent Krendler, like Ray Liotta's character... was actually in Silence of the Lambs, like, not played by Ray Liotta, but, like, he's a returning character from that. He just has, like, a small part, but he...
Really?
Yeah. He's, like, he's one of the people who, like, interferes with the investigation for Hannibal. Like, he's the whole reason that Hannibal ends up talking to the senator, basically. Because he messes, like, Clarice's plan up and Crawford's plan up, so... He just has a small role.
Interesting.
And he just, like, briefly mentioned, but I just thought I'd say that.
I did not know that, but that's kind of cool. So, yeah, he's back in it. And, yeah, he's going to take down Hannibal by himself, which is really kind of stupid. And Clarice is trying to basically stop these people from taking down Hannibal so that she can take down Hannibal instead. Is sort of the, that's sort of the third act plot of this movie. And I guess this movie's like 12 years old, so it doesn't really matter if we get into spoilers. It winds up with Hannibal eating Ray Liotta's brains.
And feeding him to an Asian child.
Jump to the interesting part. Yeah, and then he feeds him to the kid from Up. And then that's how the movie ends.
And then he cuts off his hand.
Yeah, because basically he captures Clarice and Krenler, and Clarice is like, she handcuffs herself to Hannibal and is like, I'm taking you in. And then Hannibal's like, this is going to hurt a lot, and it looks like he's going to chop off her hand, but what, surprise, he actually chopped off his own hand, sacrificing himself to save the one he truly loves. And then he feeds brains to a child. The end.
We forgot about Mason Verger.
We forgot about like 90% of this movie.
Well, we forgot about the good part when we finally meet Mason Verger. Like, he's like a kiddie. He's a child molester. And Hannibal, he was one of Hannibal's patients. And he came over one day, made him do some drugs, and tried to peel off his guy's face and feed it to the dogs.
Wee!
And Hannibal's all... And then Mason is all like, I'm gonna get back at him. I'm gonna feed him to some pigs. But then he gets fed to the pigs. Lol, 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 lol. And that's what we missed. That was the best part of the movie. Okay, now we can continue.
I think the best part of the movie is any part with Gary Oldman in it, honestly. Like,
it's a pretty good performance.
In my opinion, I guess we're moving forward to the opinions
might
part
as
now.
Well.
Why not? But in my opinion, Gary Oldman was pretty much the best part of this film. Like, I really enjoyed Mason Verger's character as a villain kind of thing. A villain against a villain, which I thought was pretty cool. And, yeah, his performance... Gary Oldman is awesome in everything, and he's the man with a million faces playing a man with no face, ironically enough.
Whoa.
So...
That's
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, I know.
You just took that to a new level.
We're taking this show to a whole new level. So yeah, Mason Verger, I'm kind of hoping he shows up in the Hannibal TV series at some point, even if it's just a brief
I hope it's Gary Oldman again.
I almost said cannibal. A brief cameo.
I want it to be Gary Oldman again.
I doubt that would happen, but that would be amazing.
I wonder who they would get to play him in if they did in the TV show.
It wouldn't really matter, because he would have his face. So, like, could be anyone, really.
I want to know who'd be an eccentric child molester.
I completely missed my first watch-through of the film that he was a child molester. I did not know that. I missed that part.
They don't really, like, come right out and say it, but they basically kind of do, because... I think it's when he's talking to Clarice, he talks about, like, because he has basically diplomatic immunity at this point, so they can't arrest him for his crimes of pedophilia. And he mentions something like, something about kids, like he talks about it at some point with her. And then when they show the flashback of him and Hannibal, Hannibal says something like, show me the smile you use with the children, or something like that.
I definitely
see
so
it.
He's
in
a
here.
Really creepy character. He's a character that's it's very easy to hate this guy.
I found him on a wiki and it says hobby, torturing orphans for tears and raping.
What?
On a wiki for Mason Verger, on this villain's wiki, it says like his hobby is torturing orphans for tears and raping. So he is not a good person.
That's his hobby.
Yep, that's what it says on this thing.
He also likes to collect Hannibal related paraphernalia.
Yeah, because he ends. Oh my god. Okay. Because he ends up buying the mask, right? From Barney, and he's been buying a whole bunch of stuff from Barney.
Yeah.
Who I was really glad actor back.
It was cool that they brought him back, but no, I was just going to say, why does he need the mask? Like, it doesn't really help him to find Hannibal, I don't think.
I think he just wants it.
Like,
you know what I mean?
It's there to sort of remind him about it. Like
that's his only reason for living right now.
I guess because this guy, like, it makes sense from this standpoint. Yeah, it's like, this is what he's obsessed with, is finding and killing Hannibal. So I guess, like, having anything Hannibal-related... I don't know. Like, I guess when you're obsessed with something, you want to collect things about it, right?
Yep.
I don't know. It's the only thing I can think of. It's kind of a weird part of the movie. But yeah, you guys say your opinions, because I've already said too much. I feel like.
Go, Andrew. Say something.
No, you go first. All right, fine. I'll go first.
I'll go.
All right. I think Hannibal is a good film, not a great film. Nowhere near the quality of Silence of the Lambs, but I like it better than I like Red Dragon, just because the age difference of Hannibal doesn't bother me as much in the film, and it kind of
because he's supposed to be older.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's supposed to be older. And that kind of stuff. And I think it was an interesting place to take the character. And it introduces a new, like, really creepy villain for Mason Verger. And I like all the characters that come back from Silence of the Lambs. I was really quite sad that they didn't get the actress who played Clarice back. And that just kind of really made me sad, because I really like Jodie Foster. So I really wish they would have just kept continuity with the actresses that played her, but like who played Clarice. But Julianne Moore was okay, but I don't get the connection to Silence of the Lambs because it's a different actress. If that makes any sense, like I'm just the two films are disconnected.
No, I understand.
And they feel like different characters because they're not played by the same actress. It's just one of those things that really annoyed me. I was so amazed when I found out that Gary Oldman was actually, like, the actor who played Mason Verger. That, like, blew my mind.
And I was, too.
I was like,
that Gary Oldman.
Because, like, it's an amazing performance. And, like, oh, my goodness. You couldn't tell at all. Like, he...
I didn't know it was him.
There's not a shred of Gary Oldman in there at all. And for any of the other films, the real reason to watch the film is just to see his performance. Like, his performance is, bar none, the best part about the movie, and his character is the most interesting, if you know what I mean. And the last point, I really do enjoy the Ray Liotta eating his own brain, because that just entertained me. It's a good film. Also, it's directed by Ridley Scott. We haven't really talked about that at all. That's kind of
yeah,
weird.
That's true. Yeah, we talked about the directors in our last episode, but that's another interesting point about this. I find it interesting that the movie that was directed by Brett Ratner, in my opinion, is a little bit better than the movie, or about the same at least, as the movie that was directed by Ridley Scott. Whereas these directors, like Ridley Scott, if I were to rank all the directors, I'd put him way, way, way above Brett Ratner.
Yeah, I was so surprised
kind of a weird
to see
thing.
It was Ridley Scott.
This was basically Ridley Scott at the very bottom of his game versus Brett Ratner at the top of his game. Because to be honest, this is not the best Ridley Scott movie.
No.
I think that's one of the problems with this movie, is it had all the makings of being really great. Like, they got Anthony Hopkins back. They didn't get Jodie Foster back, but which is kind of sucks. But at the same time, I mean, Julianne Moore is okay. It's not the worst choice. And they got Ridley Scott to direct it. It was like, okay, they got all the pieces together. But the movie, I just didn't like it that much, to be honest with you. I feel like the first half was just too boring. It moves really slow, and then the second half gets a little bit too silly for me. Like, It never really gets into that really threatening, really intense territory that Silence of the Lambs gets into. It just sort of goes from boring into, okay, now it's exciting, but it's kind of dumb at the same time.
Yeah. I kind of feel you can almost skip the whole while he's in Italy and really start watching once he gets to the United States, because that's when I feel it becomes a lot more interesting. I don't know if you guys feel the same about that.
Oh. No, I agree. Like, the first hour of this movie is pretty...
The whole part in Italy is really unnecessary, except for maybe the fact that that's where he went to, and, like, you want to know where Hannibal went to.
I thought it was not terrible. Other than that, I could...
Well, it wasn't... I felt it was... Yeah. The movie, in my opinion, was interesting once he got to the States and started interacting with Clarice in their cat-and-mouse game. Him sneaking up on her and... Then them being so close and stuff like that, and then her having to save him, and then so on and so forth. I felt the dynamic of between Clarice and Hannibal to always be pretty interesting, and that was my favorite part of the movie, was their interactions and the eating of brains.
Sorry, again with the Skype issues. I heard most of what you said, though, and I definitely agree with you that it gets good around the second half, but never really Silence of the Lambs.
Not
good
at all.
At the same time, though, if you just ignore Silence of the Lambs and ignore that this movie is a sequel and sort of take it on its own merit, it's not terrible. It's not as bad as I was led to believe before watching it. It's a decent enough thriller, but it's just... It's kind of mediocre and a little bit forgettable, I find. Except for, like, the brain-eating scene and a few other scenes. There's not really a lot in this movie that's, like, really going to grab you and that you're really going to remember.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, there's not too much to talk about with this film. I mean, we've already talked about everything that's kind of important about this film. Like, is there any other really interesting topics about it?
The only interesting topics where we hit on Mason Verger and that dynamic and... That's really it in this film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't really talked about, like, the cinematography and editing or the music at all. All of which I felt were pretty up to par with this. The only thing with the cinematography in this movie is it goes into Ridley Scott. He doesn't do it as much now, but right around this time with, like, this movie and Gladiator and a few other movies that he made at the time, it goes into this really stupid slow-mo that's completely pointless, yeah. And it's, like, this weird, like, missing frames slow-mo, and I find it extremely distracting. It works in some scenes in Gladiator because it gets really intense and the action ramps up.
Yeah, and it makes sense, like, when you're in that moment, it's like time is just fragmented, and it made sense to have those missing kind of frame slow-mo, like life's moving at a jagged rate. But here...
Yeah. Here it doesn't really work as much.
Nothing really warrants the idea in Hannibal. There's no moments.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was just something that Ridley Scott was just in that mode at the time. It was like a trend. It was something that he wanted to do in every movie. But you notice if you watch all of his movies, I haven't seen all of his movies, obviously, but if you watch his movies, he kind of has dropped that recently. Like from American Gangster and on, he hasn't really done that kind of thing. Where, like, there's random, like, the frame rate screwed up in random moments. But this movie probably makes the worst use of that, and it gets really distracting, especially in, like, the shootout scene with Clarice at the beginning of the movie. It just should have been one of the coolest scenes in the movie, but just gets so over the top, and there's so much over the top slow-mo in that scene, it just totally ruins it for me. Otherwise, yeah, the editing in this movie was okay, but again, it's kind of slow. I feel like you could have cut out parts of the first part. Like the first act could have been cut back a little bit. And I'm trying to remember who did the music for this movie. Hans Zimmer?
Yeah, I
maybe?
Think it was Hans Zimmer.
Probably. Okay. It wasn't anything
he
too memorable.
He did a decent job. He did. I mean, he wasn't as good as Howard Shore, but he did an okay job.
It was suitable.
I feel. I feel like if you had brought back. Sorry, Andrew, I'll let you go in two seconds.
Oh, no, no, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like if you brought back Howard Shore and if you brought back Jodie Foster, those were probably the missing elements that would have made this movie just a little bit more memorable.
Yeah, well, talking about Jodie Foster and how when she declined, there were so many actresses up for the part of Clarice Starling, and what I thought was really interesting was Gillian Anderson was actually up for the role of Clarice Starling, and she had to drop out when she found out that her contract to the X-Files made it so that she couldn't become another FBI agent. But if you watch the Hannibal TV show now, Gillian Anderson plays a pretty big role on the show as Hannibal's psychiatrist. So it seems like she's kind of been interested in the series for a while now, and Hannibal was finally her chance to get in on it.
Has anyone else noticed that Gillian Anderson seems to age backwards?
She's super attractive.
Like, she looks younger and hotter now than she did, like, 15 years ago. What is up with that?
Who knows?
Like, she is such Nobody a MILF, knows. But anyways. I just wanted to bring that up because I think she is so hot now, and I did not find her attractive when she was on The X-Files.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Oh, sorry.
I thought Skype was bugging out again.
I don't know when Skype's bugging out or when Skype's not bugging out.
It's annoying.
It's the weather
People
over here.
People listening
it's
to
bad.
This episode are just gonna hate us.
Yeah, we're having really weird weather around this area right now.
What?
So that's true. Us. Yeah.
This is like. Really stupid. In the trivia for IMDb, it says the film was publicized as having the highest body count in a movie, which not many people even die in this movie. That's bullcrap. The film was, wow, that's like false advertising to the extreme.
I wish I knew what Andrew
said. I did not hear what you said.
Yeah,
you,
I just heard
up.
It said that. Bop, bop.
That was a good impression. Andrew, please repeat what you said.
I'm just going to post it into the
I did not hear you.
Board.
Repeat.
That is what I said.
Oh, I think Andrew said this film was publicized having the highest body count in a movie. What? What was the body count?
Yeah,
like
and it's
10
BS,
people?
Yes, because it didn't have that many people die
count?
At all. Yeah, like, that's apparently how it was publicized, but it's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could watch
a
Friday the 13th film
like,
and there'd be a bigger body count.
Yeah. Or a Rambo movie. I thought it was Rambo 3. I thought I read that somewhere that Rambo 3, at least at the time it was released, had the highest body count.
Probably.
With, like, there's, like, over 150 people that die or something. But... No, I mean, this movie has the highest body count probably of any Hannibal movie. I can believe that.
I guess.
Because Hannibal basically kills everyone who gets close to him. Throughout the entire movie, anytime someone gets close to Hannibal... Like, literally, not close in terms of, like, relation, but actually close in proximity. Anytime someone walks close to Hannibal, they get, like, stabbed or gouged or have their brains
Gored.
Cut open or... You can't get close to this guy without dying. Like, everyone dies around him. He kills the Italian dude, and then, like, his cohorts come running in, and they die. And in an earlier scene, like, his informant guy is, like, trying to... I can't remember. I think he's, like, trying to give Hannibal a ring or a necklace or something. And then he dies...
Oh, he's trying to get no.
Like,
he's trying to pickpocket
Hannibal. Is
Hannibal.
Deadly in the deadly, almost to the point of it being a joke in this movie.
Yeah, very much so. The only person who doesn't die that gets close to him is Clarice, but she's already dead inside. So,
all right. So, what was that, Scott?
Oh, I said the only person who doesn't die is Clarice, but she's already dead inside anyway. So.
an interesting connection to...
Yeah, well, actually, she dies kind of weirdly because she ages like Benjamin Button. She's actually 10 years younger in this movie.
Wait, who?
Clarice. No, I was making a joke because Julianne Moore is clearly younger than Jodie Foster.
Yeah, well, she looks older somebody than Jodie listening, Foster.
Somebody listening to this will hopefully laugh at that joke.
Dave will laugh at it when he listens to it again. He'll be like, I'm the one who laughed.
No, I'm actually looking it up right now. Julianne Moore was born in 1960, same year my mom was born, actually. And let's see, Jodie Foster, when were you born?
Is your mom Julianne Moore?
Maybe.
Oh,
very probably.
I'd have some mommy issues there.
Whoa!
Born in 1962. What? Julianne Moore is older than Jodie Foster. I did not know that.
The more you know.
Wow.
The more you know. Did you know?
Okay. Well, that's a shock to me. Honestly, I could have sworn that that Julianne Moore was younger than Jodie Foster.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that Jodie Foster looks a lot younger than Julianne Moore.
Well, in Silence of the Lambs, because she was younger then. Or are you talking about, like, now she looks younger?
Well, now they kind of look about the same age, but...
See, I think Julianne Moore looks younger now. I think she's aged better. That's just my opinion.
They both look pretty good.
Okay, well, that's another poll question.
But we can't talk about Jodie Foster too much, or she'll tell us it's none of our business at an award show. So, let's
okay. And then we'll get Tommy Lee Jones staring us down.
And no one
He's
got
never
that
amused.
Yes, I don't get that joke. I don't watch award shows, so.
All right. So, do you guys have any final kind of closing thoughts on this movie?
It's a movie. It's fine. It exists. It's a movie with lots of things that happen in it.
It's not terrible.
And, you know, if you really enjoy the Hannibal TV show, maybe you should check this out. Mainly for Gary Oldman's performance.
Okay, then. Oh. Scott?
Oh, sorry. Again, this. I don't know if we're having Skype issues or not. My final thoughts in this film... It's not terrible, I would say. Definitely check it out or whatever. It's not a waste of your time. But you can skip a good, like, 45 minutes in and not really miss much. It's definitely nowhere as good as Silence. It's not on the same level as Silence of the Lambs, in my opinion. And it's probably way worse than Red Dragon. So that's my rating of them. So it's definitely it's worth it in my opinion to check it out. You get some interesting story in it. That's it. I don't know if we thought it was another Skype issue or not.
Okay, yeah, I would say this movie is probably my least favorite of all of the Hannibal movies, to be honest with you. I just thought it was a little bit too silly. And just didn't really grab my attention, to be honest with you. Now, it's not to say it's completely terrible. I just think it had the potential to be a lot better than it actually was, considering the franchise that it's a part of and the people who were involved in making it, etc., etc. And, it's still worth checking out, especially if you're going to do what I did and have a marathon where you watch all the Hannibal movies. Don't skip this one or anything, but it's definitely not the best out of the series. So
that's true, 100%.
That's about it. There's not really much else to say about this movie, I think. No matter what we did say, it was difficult to say it because Skype kept screwing up, and I feel like in the future, we need to try and record these shows in person. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, why would we even leave to go meet each other? Screw that.
Leaving the house? Nah.
I got the internet here. This blue wire is what's going to take me to see you in person.
I don't need friends or girlfriends.
Amen to that.
I've got the internet.
I do not agree with that statement. DVDs. I do need girlfriends. Hit me up. No, I'm just kidding.
You're going to have lots of really creepy emails in the future, Andrew.
I'm going to have absolutely zero emails in the future.
Except spam.
I know. It's just wishful thinking. I think it would be awesome if you had some creepy emails. We could read them on the show.
Astriller69.
No, not the return of the Astriller.
Wait, what is that?
We will talk about this story off the air.
Okay.
So for now, we're going to end this episode of Movie Madness saying stay tuned next time when we will enjoy a dinner with our friends.
And also, don't forget to check out the new Facebook page.
Hey, and the new Twitter.
Yeah, the new Facebook page. www.facebook.com/moviemadnesspodcast. Message us your feedback, like the page, join in the conversation.
Or, of course, you could always send your feedback to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Movie Madness, and we'll read your crap on our show. So that's about it for this episode of Movie Madness. And for this episode, we have been...
Andrew Roebuck.
Scott.
And I'm David Double D Dennis, signing off. Catch you later.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face!
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join... Not a join, what the f*** does that mean? F*** that, 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god!
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water, ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.